Folks, Kyle here. I'm a physical therapist and a fantasy football junkie. I've been doing Dynasty for a year, and I joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon about 6 months ago, and never have I felt more comfortable with having Memphis, Jerry, and the guys in the Patreon chat help me with buys, sells, and navigating free agency and rookie draft. I can't recommend them enough, and so join the Patreon, because if you ain't first, you're last.
Hello, neighbors. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your contractor. It is Memphis at DWZ Memphis. And on this week's edition of the Contractor, we have Daniel. Daniel is going to share with us his 12-team 1QB league. And we're going to jump into that with Daniel here in just a minute. Going to run through a couple of things real quick before we grab Daniel and get this thing going. This past Wednesday, we had Heath Cummings, a senior fantasy sports writer for CBS Sports. We had him stop by the Dynasty Warzone along with my co-host Jerry. We broke down our Scott Fishbowl drafts, how things shook out. And not only is Heath a very good national level analyst with an amazing platform like CBS, ironically CBS being the hosting platform of Daniel's league that we're going to break down tonight, but Heath and I had the good fortune of linking up and being in an auction addicts league this late spring, early summer. And he and I did battle there. We share some of those stories in this podcast from Wednesday. And he and I both wound up in the G.I. Joe division of the Scott Fishbowl. And not only did we wind up in G.I. Joe, but I was at the 105, he was at the 106. So we share tales of two drafts, our time together, and just what a really good guy Heath is. Again, I didn't want to keep him too long. He spends about 45, 50 minutes with us, but it's kind of like asking a guy who owns a bar or runs a bar, and on his day off, you ask him to come into your bar and bartend. And that's kind of what we did with Heath, but he was a great guy. He was a great sport. It's a really good show, so head over to the Dynasty Warzone feed and just subscribe. You won't have to worry about missing great guests like Heath, or on Friday the 17th when we had former contractor guest Dallas Hyder. He stopped by to help me break down the Chiefs, the Packers, and the Cincinnati Bengals. So if you're already listening to this fine production, hit pause, go over to the Dynasty Warzone feed. Subscribe, download last Wednesday's show, download Friday's three-team parlay, and you will have your weekend honey-do list audio covered. You know, if you're like me, you're going to spend this weekend out at the Ball Diamonds, six games, hopefully seven, if we win a championship in this tournament. I've got lots of podcasts, and make sure I'm putting lots of podcasts out for you guys. Speaking of which, we will be having a great Devi show launching on the Warzone feed here in August. Now, it's going to be the perfect complement to things that you hear, like you hear on the Dynasty Happy Hour. You hear the Devi Happy Hour with Bill Latton and all of his buddies, and they get super deep into the Devi world. What our Devi-ish show is going to be at the Warzone is that it's going to be a bridge. So, Kane Fassell of the Devi Marketplace, Josh Dissinger, Shane Hallam of FakePigskins.com, as well as SteelCityInsider.com, and Jerry, my co-host. Those four guys are going to get into those juniors and seniors and draft-eligible players that could be on your Dynasty rosters this time next year. You know, obviously, Kane with the Marketplace and Shane with the FakePigskin.com. These guys go super deep, just like Bill and the guys here at the Devi Happy Hour. But this is really the bridge for guys like me. I had these guys create this show out of pure laziness and selfish intent. I don't spend a whole lot of time watching college football, especially to the level of these guys. So I thought these guys could start warming us up as they're watching all the college football. We'll have the inside scoop so that next year, when it gets to be January, February, March, and we start cruising toward rookie season, we'll already know the names. And it'll be a great pathway to other great Devi content out here in podcast platforms. And then the other show that I will be co-hosting with Sal Lito, yes, that Salito. Salito of, I guess, everything. I mean, Sal's a great dude. The thing that Sal is most known for really recently has been the Scott Fishbowl Pot-a-thon. He did that a couple of weeks ago on July the 6th. You can find the video recaps on YouTube. Him and Kevin Cotillo and his other co-host, Steve, they hosted 24 straight hours. Actually, I think it was like a little bit more, like 28 hours of podcast gold. We stopped by from the Dynasty Warzone crew. A lot of people did. And Sal, myself, the Dynasty Warzone doctor, Kyle, he is an actual doctor of physical therapy, and a mystery fourth guest, excuse me, host. We are going to be breaking down football from a gambling aspect, but don't worry. Even if you don't do player betting props or you don't live in a state where you can make wagers, it'll be good for DFS. It'll be good for actual in-game betting. Even if you got to bet with a bookie, you know, you do what you got to do to get action. But even if you don't do all that, even if you don't do player betting props, you don't do daily fantasy sports, you don't do the betting of football, but you love playing fantasy football, it's going to be just as beneficial. We'll be talking about, you know, how we see players playing out, who are those home run type plays to get into your roster. And this is going to be fun. And as more and more states in America legalize sports betting, this is going to be a growing platform. So these are all things you're going to find over at the Dynasty Warzone feed. There has been some YouTubes. I say the YouTubes knowing it's pronounced YouTube. I kind of say that tongue-in-cheek, being a smartass. But over at the YouTubes, we have been doing live streams. We've been doing them on Tuesday. Now, we did not have Heath jump on a live stream this past Tuesday. Again, guy's already working. We're recording at night. He's a dad. He's a husband, just like a lot of us are, you know, spouses and significant others. And, you know, we got kids and dogs and everything else. So I wasn't going to be like, yeah, dude, go ahead and get yourself all done up to come on my podcast. No, man, just come on and be awesome. And that's what he did. We got Daniel coming up here in just 1 second. And then next week, it's going to be Harrison. Harrison's going to jump in. Now, this guy's going old school because he's old cool. It is a 30-player roster limit that he keeps on a Google Hangout sheet. A really great episode. I'm looking forward to recording with him. When he sent me the details on it, I'm like, dude, this is a spreadsheet. And he's like, I know, I do all of it here. I'm like, get out of here. All right, two things real quick, and we'll grab Dan. Just the Dynasty Warzone. So we're giving away an autographed DK Metcalf, that Seattle green, baby puke green, speed green, blue letters. It's autographed. I think it's JLS, JLF, whatever. It's a certified autographed jersey. How do you get a chance to get this thing? Well, you cannot buy it, but you can win it for free. Go to whatever podcast player that you're listening to this currently. Hit pause. Go over to the Dynasty Warzone. Leave a 5-star review. And in the comments, you can leave your name, your email address, your Twitter handle, so that we can get you entered into the drawing. Leaving the Dynasty Warzone a 5-star review, that gets you one entry. Our sister pod, our buddies over at the Fantasy Football Smackdown, go over to their show page on your podcast player, leave them a 5-star. Leave your name, email address, however we can get a hold of you in the comments there. If you've already rated and reviewed one or both shows, that's cool. Just go in and redo your review. And then just instead of leaving nice comments, just leave your name. And that will re-engage or redo your review. So that will make you eligible. And then if you want a third bonus entry, these have been my favorite. We've got several of these. These are pictures of you doing good in your neighborhood. Whether you're coaching Little League sports, you're helping out at your church, you're, you know, donating your time. This is the one that you can't buy. One of my favorite ones is a basketball coach had his basketball team. They were probably maybe like junior high, ninth grade, JV, and they were out doing a clothes drive. And it was a picture of the coach and his team doing that. So that got that coach a bonus third entry. And if you don't want to send them to me on Twitter, or remind me that you did them, but don't worry, I'm already collecting them, you can always email them to me at dynastywarzone@gmail.com. Again, that email address is dynastywarzone@gmail.com. Send them to me. I'll get you in there. Last thing, Patreon. Patreon.com/dynastywarzone. We are getting ready to start Patreon 6 this weekend. That's the weekend of the 18th and the 19th. That is one that I am trying out a new theory of drafting. I just got the bonus podcast about that over at the Patreon. And the Patreon basically is a virtual group of people that are very like-minded, that love talking dynasty, that love talking trades, that love talking roster construction. And it's a mixed group. We've got people from all over the world, literally. Lots of Australians. We've got men, we've got women, we've got young, we've got old. It's a great group. You know, jump on in there, find your niche. You get an extra podcast a week. You get one-on-ones with your roster help. And it's real easy. In the show description of the podcast you're listening to right now, all you got to do is go in there, hit the button. It'll take you the hyperlink right to it. Same thing with Trophy Smack. Just tappy tap, 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 tap. Tap a couple of those links. Come on over to patreon.com/dynastywarzone. Jump on in there. Remember, check me out on Twitter at DWZMemphis. If you're interested, I got one spot left, guys. One. And then we're going to go into regular season and we're going to start revisiting previous guests. So thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate the support both here at the Dynasty Happy Hour feed and over at the Dynasty Warzone. I hope this finds you having a good day, and we'll be back here next week with Harrison. But until then, let's hear a quick word from our friends over at Trophy Smack before I grab Daniel. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next week. Are you looking for a reminder of your fantasy football greatness? Are you looking for something to set your league apart from those dime a dozen jabroni leagues out there? Then head over to trophysmack.com and hook your league up with the best trophies in the game today. And not only will you get the best trophies in the game today, you can get a free championship ring up to a $59.99 value by entering in the promo code DWZRING. You pick out your trophy, which one do you like? You put it in the cart, you add the ring to the cart, you add the promo code DWZRING, makes the ring free, and your league is now a step above the league down the street. So if you're looking for the best, you want to be the best in the game, you want to have the best league in town, go over to trophysmack.com, get that trophy, get that ring, use that code DWZRING, and let's have a big season. All right, guys, and as promised, here is Daniel. Daniel is going to talk about his 12-team 1QB league with us. Daniel, welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. How are you?
I'm great. Let's do this.
Let's do this. You seem fired up. Now, Daniel is joining us. Now, luckily, Daniel is not a super unique name, so we can kind of let him know what part of this fine country that you hail from. And he's joining us all the way from the West Coast up there in Oregon. He likes to say, the middle of nowhere. How's the weather up there in July in the middle of nowhere, Oregon?
It's pretty hot right now. We get both extremes over here on the east side of Oregon, so really hot.
So you're east side of Oregon. So the only thing I really know about Oregon is my wife has always wanted to go to Portland to do some hiking, which was on our spring break this year before we got COVID-ed. Can I make COVID a verb? I think I just did. And that's on there. And then one of my favorite MMA fighters of all time is from Oregon, Chael Sonnen. I know he's from West Lynn, Oregon. I have no idea where West Lynn is. I just know he's the gangster from West Lynn, Oregon. You ever been to West Lynn?
I've never been to West Lynn, but I've heard of the guy and I've seen some stuff on him. But yeah, I mean, it's really pretty up here. I can only imagine a lot of people like to come. I mean, I think Oregon's one of the places where a lot of people are trying to move to. It's just a really nice place, really chill, laid back. It's a nice place to be.
For sure, you get that West Coast weather without the California prices. So anyway, man, let's jump right into your roster. Now, this is a 12-owner league. It's hosted on CBS. Now, you and I were talking real quick before I hit the big red button, and this is a CBS-hosted league. And tell us a little bit about CBS. This is my first interaction with someone using CBS. Obviously, we do a lot of MFL. We do a lot of Sleeper. There was one other format. This is my first time with CBS. How would you rate the overall experience as an app and an overall hosting platform for not only fantasy, but dynasty?
CBS is the first dynasty site I've ever been on. I've done redraft for ESPN for years, and then we decided to do dynasty. And then the people we got in with, like CBS beforehand. So we did it. And I've enjoyed it. It hasn't been really bad. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. They're pretty good as far as support. If you ever need anything, they're pretty quick on it. It's a nice site. I mean, it's a really big buy-in as far as using the site compared to others. But I mean, if you're in the site and you've been using it for a while, it's not bad to do.
Okay. Now, me personally, I've always been an MFL guy, but I will say, even though they're not an official sponsor of the show, Sleeper is growing on me. My biggest complaint with Sleeper was their trade feature, and it's apparently something they've heard a lot of, and they fixed it. We were also talking about how all of our patron leagues over at DynastyWarzone.com are Sleeper leagues and our listener league. I host a listener league. My co-host Jerry also has a listener league. In between that and the Patreons, we've got 7 or 8 leagues on the platform. And so I've been in a redraft league. It's the only redraft league that I really care about. There's a couple of tournaments like the Scott Fish Bowl, the Sleeper Wire tournament that I'm in. But I'm trying to get everything either on MFL or Sleeper. And I'm trying to get all my buddies. We've always hosted on ESPN. And if I go to ESPN this year, that will be the only league on ESPN. And I'm really trying to avoid managing 3 apps. So that's why I was asking. And to hear that it's costly, I would say this. If you can't compete with free 99 unless you're MFL. MFL is great. I'm a big fan. I like the usability of it. It's a little bit old-fashioned for old guys like me, but if you're paying for a hosting site, man, I highly recommend you put that money into a league trophy, a prize, back in the general prize pool, and check out Sleeper. You're going to have to get your league mates to listen to this or have them listen to another one. Don't even tell them that you were on the show. Say, hey, man, you got to check out this podcast I've been listening to. These guys are crazy. And you can say, hey, we got to check out this Sleeper. We can put more money back in our pockets. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, believe me, I've been trying. We had a league-wide vote, I think the second time this year, where I've been trying to get them to go to a different platform. It's just everybody's stuck in their ways. They don't want it. We even made an entire league, basically a exact copy of this league on Sleeper to see if we can get people to come over to, and it still didn't work. So, I mean, I think it's just what it is at this point.
Well, I'm going to give you the hook. You know, there's the old carrot and the stick. Now, everybody likes to play more fantasy football, right? Hey, guys, let's do a best ball league. Let's do it for $10. We'll set it up on Sleeper. It's totally free. We'll do a best ball. It's winner take all. You don't even have to set your lineup. And then that will just, you know, it will force everybody to download the app. And they'll get monkeying around with it. And just by saying, hey, guys, you know, we're already doing the Dynasty. Do you guys do any redraft at all?
Not anymore.
Okay, perfect. And just be like, hey, let's just do a best ball. There might be some players that I don't own that I would like to own. You know, if you've never played best ball, it's just like it sounds. The app will automatically generate your best roster. Let's give that a try. But since it's going to be a cheap $10 league, let's host it on Sleeper to check it out. Right?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
You get them in there, you get them, you know, you bump it around, and, you know, if the guys like it, they like some of the interaction, like during the draft, you can be like, hey, and you may have to go through a league where you deal with both, but it could be short-term pain for long-term gain, where you get that. Do you guys have a group chat? Because I already know the answer. This is more for the listener. Do you guys have a group chat for the CBS league?
Yeah, we have a Facebook Messenger group it's active every day, but maybe with only like 4 or 5 of us, and then on a really good day you'll get 8 of us, but then there's a couple that, you know, you won't hear from them for a whole year until the league starts again.
Well, that's probably because it's hosted on Facebook and this is an election year. Another bonus of the Sleeper app is that it has its own built-in group chat right there. You know, if you get tired of my Aunt Dorothy's, you know, political tweets, man, we can get off Facebook. We can give Facebook a break for the season, because I heard from this really cool podcast host that Sleeper has the group chat automatically built in, and it's one-stop shopping. Again, it's like anything else. It's in sales. Features tell, benefits sell. Hey, the benefit is you only got to go to Facebook to do Facebook stuff, and all your fantasy stuff is in one thing. So there's another little side thing. So you do have a group chat. That's good. I mean, I don't necessarily prefer Facebook Messenger, but anything's better than nothing, and that's very typical. So I'm in a couple of very active leagues. Our Patreon is beyond active due to the fine folks of Australia. We've got about 8 or 9 of those folks in our Patreon. I'll wake up to 60, 70, 80 messages and another 100 or 2 throughout the day. So I know all about an active group chat, but that's great. At any time, if your group chat ever gets stale, I always recommend throwing in the occasional tweet. Like did you see the recent Raheem Mostert news where he was demanding for a trade? That's the kind of thing I copy and paste in my group chats.
Oh, and stuff like that gets posted, like I said, like daily. I mean, there's not a day that goes by where one of us doesn't say anything. I mean, there's even days where there's no sports news, but one of us will post a steak that we cooked or something just random. I mean, we're always talking about something in there.
Well, good. But then you share with your league mates that you guys are about a leg up on about 90 to 95% of all dynasty leagues out there. That's great. It's absolutely great that you guys keep her rocking. Now, this is one QB. Now, have you ever even ventured into a super flex?
We actually some of us in this league, we just started a super flex, and that was the other league I thought about doing instead of this one. But yeah, that'll be my first super flex, and I'm actually really excited for it, and I feel really good about the team I drafted.
Awesome. You'll have to fill me in. And of course, I've been telling newer guests, and I'll reach back around to all the guests we've had on. We're going to have you back on during the season. And I'm going to try to go in the same order because I want to do the follow-up in season. It's hard to make major roster moves during the course of the season. And just kind of want to see how things are going for you, how's your league, you know. And it may not take as long. It may take 30 minutes and just a quick follow-up and a chat. But I'm certainly looking forward to that. Now, this is, again, 12 team, half-point PPR, one QB, no tight end premium. Why are you looking for some help? You said this is your third year of Dynasty, and this particular league is your first Dynasty league that you're joined. And this is probably the one that means the most to you, if I had to venture a guess.
I think so. Just, you know, it's the first one, and I feel like I put the most effort into it, obviously, because it was the first one. But I just feel like I got to a place where, you know, in the earlier years, I didn't treat draft picks like I should have. Maybe I, you know, I was a redraft person. I wasn't really a dynasty person, so I didn't really know what I was doing exactly. So I built a really good team, but I have no future as far as draft picks go. I mean, I have some young guys, but that's why I just want to bounce some ideas and talk about it, see where to go from here. I always look what trades I can go out and do, and it's just, I feel like I'm stuck because I don't have anything really to, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I completely do. The nice thing is that you have a roster loaded with good buildable pieces. We're going to get into your roster in a minute. You said your goal, you feel like you're a win-now team. I would certainly agree. Obviously, you need health to be on your side. We all do when we're chasing down fantasy championships. But this is one of those teams. My buddy JD, he is an absolute master. We're in, I think, 3 leagues together, and at least twice I've seen him either get in the money or win the ship, and then he blows the team up. You know, he completely blows the thing up. He'll keep, you know, 3 or 4 guys, and that's a really fun practice for him. He enjoys that. I have also said I stole this from Izzy Alkafas from the Dynasty Trade Calculator team, that I will not be doing a whole lot more startups in my Dynasty career. I think my new thing is I'm going to take on an ugly orphan, you know, maybe annually or every other year, and try to whip that back into shape. The two orphans that I've been roped into one with a couple of guys from the Fantasy Football Smackdown podcast and the, I don't know, this is a mixture of podcast hosts. They've had to be some ugly teams, but I tell you, I find that to be a lot of fun, a lot of strategy involved. But I certainly think that with what you've got going on here, there's no reason why you shouldn't make the playoffs and you shouldn't be in the hunt going down the championship run. So let's get into your QB room, man, real quick. A couple of guys. One guy, if you know me, I love. One guy, if you know me, I don't. Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield. Now, I love Russ. I absolutely love Russ. I think this year more than ever, he is going to be unleashed. I think their defense was ranked 26th in the league last year. And I just see the need for them to be in more shootouts. The Cardinals are better. The Rams offense can at least still score points, that their defense is suspect. And then, of course, the NFC defending champions, 49ers, are in the division as well. So there's at least 6 games where points are going to be at a premium. And I don't know that their defense, especially without a pass rusher like Jadeveon Clowney, curious to see what that's going to look like. But How are you feeling about the Russ and Baker stack?
I really like it. I had to go out of my way to acquire Baker last year, and it caused a lot of feuds because the way I got him. But I love Russ. I got him in startup, and I've had him ever since. I mean, the guy's just as consistent as it comes, man. I mean, he's a QB1 every single year. So I mean, I probably drafted him a little higher than I should have, but I mean, I just, in a dynasty, if you can start the same QB, you know, for 15 years, I mean, you're set. You never have to worry about drafting a QB for a long time. So that's just one of the positions. And then Baker, I feel like Browns are going to have a really good year this year. I mean, they're going to have to bounce back, or, I mean, he's going to be in trouble. So it's the best time to have a QB is when they have the world against them.
Yeah. So it sounds like you bought into Baker last year when the Baker hype was a little bit higher. You maybe paid up a little bit for him, but for a one QB league, you're fine. You got Rush, you got a top five, top six, top seven asset at the position. You're totally cool. Let's jump into your tight end room. You have my man now. I think it was back in late May, early June. My co-host Jerry and I, we did a episode of the Dynasty Warzone called The Players We Will Not Trade off of our Dynasty roster. We had three guys each, and one of my three was your tight end. That is George Kittle. Absolutely love this guy. I think he's got all the tools to be the tight end one for the next half decade. He's 27 years old. And to put that in perspective, I believe Travis Kelce turns 32 this year. So there's no reason you can't get 5 years of absolute dominance out of him. And then you have a young guy I'm very intrigued with, which is Ian Thomas. Greg Olsen has moved on. Ironically, he's going to be the tight end attached to Russ, at least for 2020. And you got his former backup, Ian Thomas. Now, he has ties to the state of Indiana, where I'm from. How are you feeling about your tight end room? I'm going to make some suggestions on this a little bit later in the show, but overall, you got to like it.
Man, George Kittle is my pride and joy. I mean, startup, he was my target from day one, and that was before he busted out, and I just really liked what he did the year before. So, I mean, he's one of the very few guys on my team that I actually got from startup, so I'm really glad where he turned out. And then Ian Thomas, I think I picked him up off the waiver because I ended up trading Goddard for a deal with Eckler that I got later on when I was trying to make a push last year. But he's a really good upside guy, and I feel like in a one tight end with no premium, I have George Kittle, and then I have a guy with really good upside. Feeling okay. I mean, it's going to be a little sad if George Kittle ever gets hurt, but I have really high hopes for Ian Thomas, especially with that new system. I'm hoping Teddy does some good things down there too.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw out a couple of names later when we get to your wide receiver room. But yeah, you got George Kittle, and he very well could be in a class all of his own. I mean, as soon as next year. Again, I mentioned Travis Kelce, not the youngest guy around. You know, he's in that early 30s, which we know tight ends can play much later in their career. Just look at guys like Jason Witten, Antonio Gates, and obviously he's got the quarterback and the desire. So he could be around for a little bit longer. And then Zach Ertz, I mean, he's 29. He's had some injury issues throughout his career. And then we all like Mark Andrews. I like Mark Andrews. You like Mark Andrews?
I do.
So there you go. We all like Mark Andrews. But what happens if he doesn't repeat? What happens if he doesn't have another big year this year? So you could have the number one by a considerable margin. Very good. So you've got a solid tight end room. Let's go to your running backs. Now, I like your running backs. I'm a little, just because of the COVID this year and the addition of a 17th game next year, I'm a little concerned about the depth. But man, where you got him, you got him. Nick Chubb, absolutely love the guy. We were mentioning the Cleveland offense just a second ago. I mean, they invested in the offensive line. They drafted Jedrick Wills. They signed in free agency the guy from Tennessee, Conklin. They already had, and that was the strength of their line last year, was their guard, center guard. So overall, the offensive line has been completely revamped, and they're talking about using Austin Eckler in the slot as a slot receiver. Not Austin Eckler, excuse me, Kareem Hunt. And you have him ironically as well. Now, the good thing for this roster, even though they're both on Cleveland, I think they're both completely usable, especially for a team that's also going to have a fullback. This is a team that could have three technical running backs from like a fantasy standpoint on their field at any one time. You could have the fullback, You could have Chubb, and you could have Hunt lined up in the slot. So you're going to see some interesting formations in Cleveland. Yeah. You do have Eckler. That was not a Freudian slip. You do have awesome Eckler. How are you feeling about him? Let's talk about him for a second, and then two other guys.
I feel good about him. I mean, they use him all over the place. And, I mean, he's made that know even on Twitter and stuff. He's always, you know, firing back at people that doubt him. He's saying, you know, they don't just use him as a running back. He can play, like you said earlier, play out of the slot and all that stuff. So, I mean, as a PPR, even though it's half PPR, but as a PPR guy, I mean, I feel pretty comfortable with him. And then they didn't – I mean, they added Kelly, but I don't really see him coming in right away and being – you know, as bulky as Melvin Gordon was as far as touches go. So I'm feeling pretty good about Austin Eckler. I don't see any reason he can't. I mean, maybe not exactly repeat what he did last year, but I don't see him being far off.
Yeah, now I'm the numbers I have in my head are basically full-point PPR where he finished as the RB4 overall. I don't know that that's going to happen again, but you know what? He's still going to be pretty darn good. I don't think it was all about the PPR volume. And anyone who thinks Joshua Kelly is a detriment, that's where you're missing the point. Because he has the ability to take some of those extra touches off of Eckler. Eckler's not built to be a workhorse. He's not Zeke. He's not Le'Veon Bell in his prime. He's a guy that you want to get, you know, 16, 18 touches a game because he's going to be hyper-efficient with him. So definitely dig that. Jordan Howard, I think he'll be fine. Bi-week fill-in type guy, a little bit of that depth we were talking about. New offensive coordinator Chan Gailey can use two running backs. You can go back to 2015 and 16 where he used some combination of Chris Ivory, Matt Forte, and Bilal Powell to decent success. I'm talking like a couple of RB2s. And at one time, Matt Forte was ridiculously hot in that offense. And then it says D. Johnson, Houston. Is that David or Duke?
That's Duke.
The Dukester. I wish it was David.
And ironically, I traded David Johnson before he went to Houston. That didn't turn out so great, but I was honestly just – he burnt me too many times, and I just wanted him off the roster. So I ended up making a deal I probably shouldn't have, but, I mean, I got that – my only draft pick in the next however many years. So,
yeah, you got the 206 coming up. We're gonna dive into that and how to work on some of that in a minute. Now you've got Michael Thomas, you've got Odell Beckham Jr., Tyler Boyd, Mike Williams, Darius Slayton, Warzone favorite by the way, Jalen Hurd, Deion Kane, Deshaun Hamilton, Corey Davis, Rashad Higgins, Curtis Samuel, and Dante Pettis. Let's talk about this room. You obviously have the best wide receiver in the game. Not much more to be said about Michael Thomas besides he's good. Write that down for anyone listening who's not also driving. Michael Thomas, hashtag good at football. All right, man, let's go into Odell Beckham Jr. How are you feeling about him? This guy's not been a wide receiver one in 4 years. So how are you feeling about Odell?
I mean, talent is obviously there. It's just the guy can't catch a break. He's hurt every single year, and even – then the news came out that he had that, you know, sports hernia last year. So, I mean, you can take it as a positive or a negative. I mean, he had it last year and still, I think he put up 1,000 yards. So we just can hope that, you know, they come back healthy for once and you can actually put together season. I mean, like we said, I think he's going to be kind of like the Stephon Diggs of Fancy's offense. And that's not a bad thing, considering I think OBJ is more talented than Diggs is. So hopefully the guy just comes back healthy and the Browns do something.
Well, we actually, this week, on Friday the 10th, we dropped the Dynasty Warzone three-team parlay, and we covered the Bills, which covered Stephon Diggs, who, ironically, we mentioned some corollaries with Odell Beckham Jr., and he finished, like, he had, like, his third best out of five, you know, targets on the season last year. They weren't great targets, but he had a career high in total yardage. He had 1,130 receiving yards. So there's no reason why Odell Beckham won't be involved. My fear for this offense is volume. Again, we talked about the improvement in the offensive line. They added a fullback. Their offensive line coach is Bill Callahan, who was the guy in Washington who said he was going to run the ball, and then run the ball some more. So that makes me a little nervous that there's not going to be as much volume. Has there been any buzz? Has anyone ever really reached out to get Odell from you?
No, because I actually went out of my way to get him last year. Before, I think it was before he even was a Brown. But no, I think a lot of people just want to see what happens. Not a lot of people are trying to come and get him or anything.
Okay, because he would be the one that if you wanted to do anything now, like because you have the rookie draft coming up, and if there was any opportunity to move him, like during the rookie draft, may be the time. Because one of the moves that one of our patrons was able to pull off in one of his leagues is he was able to move Odell Beckham Jr. and a third for Terry McLaurin and a first. And for someone looking for draft capital like you are, that might be a move that you pitched. And you're like, but Memphis, Terry McLaurin, you know, Odell Beckham, is the gap really that small? Well, I mean, if you're just, for me, dynasty and fantasy football is all about points per game in your lineup. And if you just go off last year's production, Terry McLaurin in PPR, now you're a half-point league, but in PPR he put up 13.7 and Odell put up 13. So you're already breaking even on your roster from a points per game standpoint, but you're also picking up draft capital. So that was a move that I've recommended, that I've seen work already. And you don't have to do this now.
I love Terry.
That's my man. I always give partial credit to my friend Nick Whalen of the Dynasty Nerds. He, you know, said, "Hey, you got to check this kid out. I know how you like wide receivers," and I did. He's like, "You got to check him out. He was awesome." And I think that somewhere around ADP, you may be able to name trap somebody. You know, you're going to break even from a points per game. Terry McLaurin or Odell Beckham Jr. are both fine wide receiver twos behind a guy like Michael Thomas, but overall, man, pretty good. I tell you, Tyler Boyd, if he can play that slot role that Justin Jefferson played in LSU with Joe Burrow last year, that could be money in any kind of point per or half point reception kind of league. Now, are you a Boyd guy? I've teetered. And normally when I go backwards, like I've never been a Boyd guy, I'm thinking about trying to acquire a share. I've not really acquired a share. Do you have like a good feeling for him? Is that why he's on the roster?
I do, and it's confusing because I get a lot of mixed signals from like a bunch of other podcasts I listen to and stuff, and some people say they don't like him, and then some people say they do like him. And for me, it's just I feel like this guy always produces double-digit points like every week for me. So it's just, I mean, he may not be this guy who's going to score me 25, 30 points, but I mean, he's going to get me that 12 to 15 almost weekly. So, I mean, I like Tyler Boyd, and I like the new system. I like Joe Burrow being there. I think Bengals offensively anyway are going to be revamped. So, I mean, I like Tyler Boyd, but I always hear everything else about him. So,
well, I mean, it's funny. Just from talking to you, I think you would have been like from the Rust Belt, from like, you know, Southeast Ohio, West Virginia, Pittsburgh, because you have an affinity for all these Ohio and like these Rust Belt guys. You got Baker, OBJ, you got Boyd. You're talking nice about Joe Burrow. That's neither here nor there. Mike Williams, man, this is kind of the make or break year for him. If he's going to break out and become the one there, I need to see it this year. And I need to see him with Justin Herbert. So you can't do much with him. I do love Darius Slayton. You have Darius Slayton, another Warzone favorite. My only thing about Darius Slayton, and it's not a negative, I think he'll have a very nice year this year. That team is going to be behind a lot. They're going to put the ball in the air a lot. And I know a lot of people don't like Jason Garrett, the Clapper, the new OC for the Giants. He may not be a good head coach, but he was a pretty good offensive coordinator, and I'm a fan. So there's no reason why he can't be the one. The only thing I want from a dynasty owner standpoint, because I have a lot of shares, is I want him to have a really good season. And what do I mean by really good? I'm talking 75, 80 receptions, like 1,100, 1,200 yards, and like another 6-8 touchdowns. That would be just enough to cement him as the future wide receiver one for that team. That's what I'm looking for, because then he's minted himself. That's his job. Jalen Hurd, we're going to get a chance to take a look at him in the early season, as I don't think Debo Samuel will be ready. And then Deion Kane, man, he was a guy that I was hoping was going to fire here in Indy. He just really hasn't had it, and I'm really concerned about his depth there in Pittsburgh behind the likes of Juju, Deontay Johnson, the Claypool, the kid they just drafted from Notre Dame, Justin Washington still on the team. They brought in Ebron. My fear is he's going to be a camp casualty. Deshaun Hamilton, everything I said, but except in orange and blue in Denver. You got Rashad Higgins, again, another Brown. I'm starting to question you. Curtis Samuel and Dante Pettis. And then the two guys, I'll kind of lump Curtis Samuel in on this as well, is Corey Davis. Now, I'm a world-famous Corey Davis hater. I have my badge and everything. But he's a guy that is going to have a nice spike in value no matter where he goes. Why is that? He is the reason why I invented the term stan base. That is where a group of stands stand together and stan base for a player. And dynasty leaguers across America and the world love Corey Davis. So the team did not pick up his fifth-year option. He's going to get the opportunity to go somewhere new. And because people love him so much, Twitter is going to increase his value for you this time next year. So you just got to hold him. The value will come even if the fantasy points don't. People will want to give him, hoping he'll break out in the fifth year like Devontae Parker. So he's a guy that I would be looking to move, but not looking to move anytime soon. Are you cool with holding on to Davis to move him in a year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had to pay a premium when I got him. I think it was 2 years ago. I don't remember exactly, but I paid a premium because I thought he was going to bust out and then got burnt on that. So now I just feel I'm stuck where, because of what I paid for him, I have to just hold him and hold him and hold him and hope to God he does anything. But yeah, the second that there is any spike in value, he is on the block.
Well, that's going to be next year during free agency. Teams are always looking for a wide receiver. You're seeing more three wide receiver sets for most teams than ever. And people are always looking for a quality wide receiver. And I never liked the Tennessee landing spot. I was always speculative of a guy going in the top five overall picks from Western Michigan. Unless you're like an offensive lineman, sometimes you can get away with that with those big, you know, raw-boned, corn-fed looking dudes. But then your draft picks, man, you're right. You are the redraft guy who came in and traded a lot of the future. You've got the 2020-206, nothing really in 2021 or 2022, and you're holding out till the class of 2023. Are you a little nervous about that?
Very. Hence why I reached out to you.
Okay, perfect. So here's what I'm going to tell you. You have made your bed, and man, let's go for it, right? Let's go for it. But with the starting requirements of this team, you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's one quarterback, one tight end, two running backs, three wide receivers, and one flex. Is that correct?
Only two wide receivers and one flex.
Oh, so this is and then you guys do still have some kicker and defense. You can definitely tell where you and your homies have transitioned from redraft to dynasty. But
I believe this was everybody's in this league. I think this is their first dynasty. It was kind of just hey, let's see what this is like, and then everybody loved it. So now we're just going with it.
Hey, man, first of all, you know, people will tell you that, you know, you got to get enjoy your league, first of all. Just enjoy it. You guys are really dipping a toe in dynasty, and this is such a nice compliment to your redraft roster. So that's why I recommended a best ball that, you know, scratches the itch that is drafting. We all love to draft and have fun doing that. But some things that you're going to do, man, first of all, we're going to chase the ship. We're going to hope that we stay healthy. I would recommend with that 206 in a 1QB league, you'll be looking for three of my mid-round value running backs. You already mentioned one guy's name earlier, Joshua Kelly. He would be in my crosshairs there at that 206, as would Darrington Evans and Anthony McFarlane. You know, I like players on good rosters, on good teams. Now, I know the Chargers didn't make the playoffs last year, but that was a pretty good offense. Not great, but good. And Joshua Kelly is not redundant. Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler do a lot of the same things. They're a similar size, even. And Joshua Kelly more fits the role of doing what Melvin Gordon did more than anyone else on that roster. So for those reasons alone, I would put Joshua Kelly at the top of my list there for you, especially as like almost a quasi Austin Eckler handcuff. And if you miss out on him, I would rank him Darrington Evans too, because he's the PPR back. He is the pass-catching back for the Titans. And if their game scripts aren't as perfectly scripted, how about that play on words, if their game scripts don't work out just the way that they want them to, they're going to be passing the ball. And Derrick Henry, you know, averages about a catch and a half a game. throughout his career. It may not even be that high. So who's going to get all that beautiful PPR value? Darrington Evans, that's who. And then Anthony McFarlane. Last time I checked, James Conner, not the healthiest dude around. I like him a ton. When he's healthy, he's very good. But the Pittsburgh Steelers front office and coaching staff had good ties to Maryland. And I definitely like those three. So those would be the three guys I would be looking to target with that 206. How does that sound?
Yeah, no, I really like McFarland. I watch a lot of his film and stuff, and I really liked him. Evans worries me just because I feel like who was the PPR guy last year?
Deion Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, I know he's not the best, but I feel like he just like...
He's gone, though. Deion's gone.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but even just, I'm kind of just basing off of what they did last year with him. That worries me just a little bit, just because I feel like they just feed...
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry just so much.
No, that's
almost like nothing left for the poor PPR guy.
No, you're right, but that's why. But also too, you're looking at it just from last year. You go back to the year before that, when DeMarco Murray was there, when they brought in Deion Lewis initially. If the game scripts aren't perfect, there's going to be a role for Darrington Evans. So that's why I like him, because yep. I'm still not sure how Pittsburgh's going to use the likes of Benny Snell. How they're going to use Jalen Samuel. Obviously, Connor's there. And then there's Anthony McFarland. He's going to be in the mix. Whereas yep. In Tennessee, I couldn't tell you who the third stringer was top of my head. I mean, let's be honest. The guys that rush for all those yards, I forget the exact number. I think it's 330 or 350, which Derrick Henry easily eclipsed last year with their playoff run. And they have, like, I think it's a 20 or 25% reduction in volume from a fantasy standpoint the next year. That's okay. Some of the reason why I'm in on Darrington Evans. I don't think the game scripts are going to be as perfect. I don't think at some point he's going to make a business decision, because if this team's not doing great and he's going to be a free agent next year, he's, again, a business decision. How do I take care of myself? So that's kind of how I'm narrative that I'm speaking on behalf of Evans. But I like all three. I don't think there's a wrong choice. I just kind of like some slightly more than others.
Agree. So the other thing in this league is, with the way the draft went last year, everybody values running backs like they're gold. So, I mean, guys like Damien Harris last year went at like 109. You know, like, yeah. So it's stuff like that. Like, just all these, they're just crazy, crazy, crazy about these running backs. So I might be stuck where, you know, not going to happen, but example, like, let's say like Rager might be there at 206 just because everybody's just picking all these running backs so early than they need to be.
Sold American. If a Jalen Rager, a Justin Jefferson, a Keyshawn Vaughn, I don't know, you said they love running backs, but if this in a 12-man league, the top 18 players is going to net you something you're going to like. Even a LaVisca, if you get forced down to a LaVisca Chenault with all the QBs, you know, maybe Joe Burrow falls. He shouldn't, but maybe he does. So you don't necessarily have to lock in on running back. I wouldn't reach any higher than the three we've already talked about. That's kind of like my ceiling at that 206. But you got some options. And then, man, let's talk after the season. You're the first guest I've had that, you know, I mean, this is a classic win now roster. I mean, you're starting Russ, Chubb, Eckler, OBJ, Michael Thomas, Kittle, and then you've got your defense and kicker in there. And then you've been flexing Tyler Boyd, which is fine in a half-point scenario. You may put Kareem Hunt in there every once in a while, you know, as the season progresses, but you've got the depth that you need. You might flex in a Darius Slayton in a good matchup. So you've got the depth, but you got the top-end talent. The number one move I would be looking to make with this team as soon as I was eliminated, but I would be looking to move Mike Thomas. He's 27 years old. He's about 7 months older than Allen Robinson, if you can believe that. And with a guy like Michael Thomas, man, I mean, you love Terry McLaurin. Why? I mean, do guys move for? Does anyone not named Daniel move first in this league?
No. I mean, there is. I mean, I have by far, in a way, done the most trades in this league. Like, I don't even think it's close. But I mean, there's a couple others. But the thing is, in this league, is if you're not winning the trade, it's not going to happen. So everybody's just so ticky-tacky. I mean, you have to overpay if you want anything to happen.
I've been in leagues like that. It's not necessarily great. But Michael Thomas is the kind of guy that carries so much value, especially if he has even 85-90% of what he did last year. I mean, he outscored the number two receiver in points by almost 100 points. He had, and now again, I'm going full point PPR. He had 375 to Chris Godwin's 276, so 99 more points than the next closest guy. But you got to let him carry you to a ship. He would be a guy that I would be looking to move. You know, maybe again, you're looking to get a close to like another wide receiver one plus some, you know, draft picks in return to try to build up your war chest. Because even though your players are good, not a lot of them are super sexy. I could see this time next year you're moving Corey Davis for like a second, you know, which is nowhere near what you paid for him, but that at least gives you a chance to get out from under and move on to something else. And you're going to have to get creative to get draft capital. And the only players that I'm not moving on this roster, at least not in the anytime soon, is Russ, Chubb, and Kittle. I think anyone else is on the board. I'll listen. But you can also, again, hopefully you win the ship with this very good roster, and then you can blow this thing up and have some fun and try to put it back together.
I hope so. It's been a rough 2 years. I think the first year I missed the playoffs, but if I would have got in, I would have gotten second. And then last year, there was two games where I think I started OBJ over Slayton, and that's when Slayton went off for like 40-something points. And then there was another week where everybody got screwed, where you started DJ over Edmonds, and I owned both at the time, and I started DJ, and then I ended up losing that game because Edmonds went off for like 40-something too. So then I missed playoffs, but if I would have gotten in, I would have won it based off of how the points went out at the end. So it's been a frustrating couple years. I have such a good roster, and I'm always top two or three in scoring every year, but I just cannot make starting decisions correctly.
Well, luckily you've got the old set it and forget it, the guy on your team. You just plug him in, and you're good to go. But man, overall, I say you're good. I'm going to check back with you somewhere in the season, somewhere around the middle of the season. See how you're doing. See if you've made any trades. I wouldn't be, like I said, you know, in the middle of the draft, I wouldn't be afraid to dangle OBJ out there, especially if he has a fan. He's a very polarizing player. He's got like, I think he's got more than 10 million followers on Instagram. So he's very popular. Maybe he's someone that you can dangle a little bit during the draft.
Yeah, I might try. I really like that OBJ, you know, plus something for Terry in a first. I mean, I think that's a good idea. I mean, maybe not exactly Terry, but throw that out there. I really like that idea. See if I can get somebody to buy on that. Because he's definitely somebody that I would be willing to move just because there's so much question. He has boom or bust potential as it gets.
100%. And other guys that, you know, people don't really, you know, tie to that class, but like DJ Chark. I would love, you know, just take out Terry McLaurin, plug in DJ Chark there.
Yep.
You know, if you can find someone who hates Stephon Diggs, hey, give me Stephon Diggs, and you know, because again, same thing. He's in that 13-point in full point PPR range as Odell Beckham, and I don't know that their situations are that much different. Maybe a Calvin Ridley nummy. He may be tough, man, because the steam on that dude is bananas.
That's not happening. But I just traded him.
Oh, well, there you go. There is a few options you can start looking at. I mean, if you could trade Odell Beckham straight up for AJ Brown, I would do that because you're getting a guy going into year two who's going to be the proven one on his team. Ryan Tannehill's a fine quarterback. And even if, you know, again, he's in that 13 PPR point club, again, what are you getting? At least you're breaking even and you're getting a younger guy, and your points per game is not going to fluctuate too much. So your roster would still be consistent. But, man, those would be some of the moves I would be looking to make.
I would love to not have so many Browns on my team as well.
Yeah, man, diversify. You're calling me from Portland via Berea, Ohio, man. So what else can I do for you?
It was not planned to have all these Browns. It just, you know, I got Hunt when he got in trouble for cheap, and he ended up going to the Browns. I got OBJ before he went to the Browns, and then he went there. It was just like, it just happened. I wasn't happy about it, but.
Yeah, I would just be looking to, and then again, timing in life is everything. So this time next year, as you guys are rolling in there, maybe, you know, we're gonna hold positive. You know, positive thinking leads to positive outcomes. Man, you're gonna win this ship, and then You can say, hey, man, I'm taking the advice of a friend, and I'm going to blow this thing up, and I'm going to rebuild my team. Hey, I won a championship with Michael Thomas. Hey, come get Michael Thomas. No, I won't charge you full, you know, full asking price, if you will. But, you know, I got to get a good haul for him. You know, let's talk. And, you know, maybe the guy who finishes third this year or fourth this year, maybe you can get some younger pieces. Again, I wouldn't do too much tinkering right now until you get in season and, you know, make some moves accordingly. But I think overall you've done a very nice job. You know, but I like the fact that you're thinking toward the future. Hey, man, this time next year I'm going to need some draft capital. So I think you've done a good job, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, man. What else can I do for you? Have any other questions or anything before we get out of here?
No, I mean, you threw out some good ideas, and then if I can't get a trade and it got me some good guys I can look for in the draft, that was great.
One thing now, we have whiteboards everywhere in my home. I have whiteboards everywhere in my office at work. You know, just get you a whiteboard or like a notepad or whatever and just start sitting out and mapping out trades. And I'm not a paid spokesman, but I do believe in the product, especially for newer dynasty owners and leagues. I recommend that you guys, you know, find some kind of a trade calculator service. I know there's the Dynasty Dominator. The one that I like and I've always liked because it's clean, it's slick, it's easy to use is the Dynasty Trade Calculator. It's $15 for a year, but you're already committed to this roster, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. And it basically what it does is it pulls in ADP, it pulls in a lot of different things into like an algorithm, and it spits out a player value. So it says a first round pick's worth 20 and player X is worth 18. You're like, okay. You know, and you don't have to, I mean, now I've seen people who use the calculator. They're like, this thing has to be exactly right. You're getting 79.4. I've got to have 79.4 or more. And I'm just like, I'm trying to get in the ballpark, man. I'm trying to get in Wrigley Field. Just get me close, and we can work it out from there. Like, I'll lose a trade. I'll actually use it as a tool to lose, quote-unquote, lose a trade if I like the pieces that I'm getting in return. But
yeah,
I've
used it before. I actually really enjoy it as well.
I think it's $3 a month or $2 a month, or you can do it like $15 for a year. I do the $15 for a year thing. And I just start throwing it in there because I don't want to offend somebody when I'm making an offer, because this way they can't come back at me and say, well, man, where the hell did you pull that out of your ass? Well, I'm like, I actually didn't, man. I made sure to run it through this thing. And if you believe in these things at all, it actually shows that you win by a little bit. That's how I like to use them.
Using it is, like I said, like everybody in this league is, if you're not winning the trade, they're not doing it. So that's why I started using this trade calculator, because then I could, you know, show them like I'm not that far off, or you're not that far off, you know. Because sometimes it's even a good reality check for myself.
Yes, yeah, so sometimes you don't realize that, you know, how the industry or the world values a player. Like the calculator has guys like Christian McCaffrey way higher than I would personally value him, just from like a numeric standpoint versus say the RB4 versus him being the RB1. I don't see the gap being that huge, because again, for me, it's all about points per game in my roster. But they're an awful lot of fun, but for newer guys and not super action freaks, at least that way you're insulating yourself and say, no, man, I'm doing you right. I'm not trying to rip you off. I'm just trying to create action. So, Daniel, man, I appreciate you taking time to jump on with me. I appreciate it a ton.
All right, thank you.
All right, man. Well, listen, on behalf of Daniel from Oregon via Cleveland, I am Memphis, and here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, we like to remind you that the roster you have today is not a life sentence. We can help you fix it. We can make it better, and we can get you ready for the regular season. Thanks for tuning in. Look for a new edition next week. Take care, guys.
Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. I'm not golfing or slinging my hands a monster. I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal Dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds. tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.